Thank you. You may be seated. I was a little concerned when Jeff announced his subject this morning. He was speaking on Noah, and I thought maybe I'd just have to dismiss everybody when it was my turn, because I thought he'd cover everything that I was going to speak on, but he didn't. He talked about the end. I'm going to talk about the beginning. Today we talk about Noah witnessing by faith. Faith has always been the only way to God. It's not something new. That's always been God's plan. And faith is a fragile commodity. Its only visibility comes in the weak, in the works and the deeds done. We can talk all about our faith, but our faith is only proven by what is seen, by our works and by our deeds. The heroes of Hebrew 11, as we talk about this chapter, talked about two, this is the third character we've delved into, they all demonstrated their faith by things they did. Faith has always been demonstrated by works. Faith without works is dead, James said in the second chapter of his book. So we see, as we study these different people, the progress of faith, just the way God has laid this out, these heroes of faith illustrate the different characteristics of faith. Some people only go part of the way. Abel represents for us the worship of faith. Enoch represents for us and illustrates the walk of faith. Noah today is the witness of faith. And some people stop at worship. Others may go a little further and also walk, and some never get to witness, but that's the progression of faith. And God says in Hebrews 10:38, the chapter before, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. The way that you and I as believers in Jesus Christ are told to walk is by faith. That's the way God wants us to go. That's the way that pleases Him. So there are progressive steps in the relationship of faith as we're watching this play out here in these characters. Noah's faith was remarkable, unbelievably remarkable. Human rationale says that what he did was stupid, one of the most stupid things anybody could ever do. But he did what God told him to do, even though he couldn't see anything past his own trust, even though on the surface it seemed like a most bizarre commandment. And it was stupendous and irrational to the world. But our text this morning, Hebrews 11:7, brings out three proofs of Noah's faith that ought to be also present in our lives if we are walking by faith. Number one, Noah responded to God's word. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Several things we see about Noah, and we go back to Genesis 6, which is where these events really are taken from. Back on page 9, Lois read that. If you'd like to turn back, you can go back to page 9 in your pew Bible. But we see several things in Genesis 6. First of all, as we think about how this man could be used so greatly by God, we must think about, first of all, his character. Noah found grace, or as the NIV says, favor. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6:8. It goes on to say that he was righteous. He was a godly man. He was blameless, he tells us there in verse 9. He's blameless among the people. So Noah had a great respect from his society. He had a great reputation, a great testimony among the people. As people looked at his life, as they saw him, they saw something different in Noah than what they were. And it tells us also in that verse, Genesis 6:9, that he walked faithfully with God. Faithfully with God. In a world that was upside down with sin, in a very dark culture, in a very anti-God culture, here was a man that stood for God. Here's a man that walked with God, and he was a tremendous witness to the world of who God is and of God's righteousness. As we saw last week, Enoch was a type of the church. God, when God removes the church from this world, Noah is a type of the Jews in the tribulation period, the persecution that they will come under, how God saves them. So we see his character, and then we also see his commitment. Noah believed God so much so that he built an ark just as God commanded. And that God comes to Noah and he says, Noah, judgment's coming to this world. I've had it up to here with all of its evil, all of its wickedness. And he says, I'm going to destroy this world and I want you to build an ark. Okay? Now, it never rained before. So you can just imagine, I'd be thinking about why would God want that to build an ark? Imagine the laughing, the jeering, the mocking as he built that ark. I wonder what Mrs. Noah thought when he gets out there and starts building that ark. For 120 years, he's building a boat miles and miles and miles from the ocean. How's he going to get it there? You see, true faith does not question its obedience or logic. After maybe 70 or 80 years, you might start wondering what in the world is going on. But God told him, mankind has 120 years, so I want you to build an ark. Now, in so many ways, Noah was no different than we are. I am sure that he had many distractions. Perhaps he didn't even know much about boats. Probably didn't, since he didn't live near the water. So building a boat for that long of a time span took a tremendously great commitment from this man. So we see his character. He was a man of great character. He was a man of great commitment. And then we see his care. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 7, Noah was warned of God about things not yet seen. Isn't that what faith's all about? You don't see the future. You believe God. You step out and you trust God to do what God has called you to do, even though you do not see the end. You step out when no one else will step out. That's what Noah was asked to do. His faith was being tested. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's what vision is all about. And it goes on to say that Noah, after he is warned of these things not yet seen, he was moved with a holy fear, a fear that was given to him by God. And fear here does not mean fright or being frightened. It has more to do with a great reverence for God. He did what God said because he reverenced God's word. God's word was his rule. God's word was his authority. God's word was his guidebook and what he followed. And so when God spoke, he not only listened, but he obeyed. And he treated the message of God with great reverence, with great care. He cared more for what God wanted than anything else or anybody else. And he acted on it by preparing the ark just like God had told him. And so God saved his family out of the thousands and millions of people that were on the face of the earth at that time. Only eight survived. Only eight survived. Those eight that got in the ark with Noah. So we see his character, his commitment, his care, but he also had a tremendous challenge. Noah obeyed God's command. Here was an unbelievable challenge, a project of unprecedented scale. God said, I want you to build this ark. Some translations say gopher wood. Some say cypress wood, and commentators are unsure of what kind of wood that really was, but evidently it was a strong wood that would get them through the flood. And he says, I want you to build rooms in this ark, and I want you to pitch it inside and out, okay, to cover it so it wouldn't leak. And that same word for pitch, and I'd like to go into that. We don't have time, but it's the same word for atonement in the scriptures. Same word that's translated atonement other places is translated pitch here, which tells us something about the safety that God is talking about here, the price that's paid. Now, he gave him the measurements. It was to be 450 feet long by 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Four stories high would be this ark. Now, when you evaluate that or multiply it out, it's over 1.5 million square or cubic feet of space. Over 1.5 million. And square footage, there's a total deck area. It's 34,000 plus square feet on each deck. It had three decks. So you have over 100,000 square feet of space on those three decks. This was a monstrous boat. It was an unprecedented event that was so difficult to believe. God says, I'm going to send a flood into the world. Well, that had never rained before. The ground was watered by a mist coming up out of the earth. There was a canopy over where God held water and generated some moisture, but water was held up between heaven and earth by this canopy that hovered over the earth. But it had never rained. And so here this man, unbelievable task, he sets out to build this boat that God told him to build because God says it's going to do something that it has never done before. Now there are a lot of reasons why human logic would doubt this event would occur. One, as I just said, it never rained before, so who could expect a flood? The judgment was a long way off. It was 120 years. We got plenty of time. Why rush out and get things straightened out? Now, we had a lot of years to get right with God. After 120 years of preaching, or even close to it, with no converts, doubt might occur. I know how it is to preach, and when you don't see people come to God, it can be very difficult and get very discouraging. But Noah kept preaching. He kept preaching. Kept doing what God told him to do. Noah endured all the mocking. He endured all of the scoffing and all the persecution from others. Very, very difficult time. It had to be the question, how could something like this really float? And Noah probably knew nothing about sailing, but he's doing this anyway. You know, God, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't always ask us to do what is logical in our minds. God's ways, the Bible says, are way above our ways, and his thoughts are way above our thoughts. As high as the heaven is from the earth, God says that's how his ways and his thoughts are above us. We can't understand God. All of these things, all of these questions, all of these hindrances, but there was one thing that kept it going. Noah believed God. His faith was all in the open. Can you imagine what started when he chopped down that first tree? He put this whole process into gear. And God went on to say in chapter 6 there of Genesis that he would establish a covenant with Noah. He was going to destroy the world, but he would save Noah and his family. The world would be judged. The world would be drowned, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, judgment's coming, but you'll be saved. Can you imagine, too, that this was such a big project? Noah and his three sons couldn't have done it by themselves. They must have recruited a whole lot of other men and other people to help them build it. And yet none of those believed. They never got in the boat when the rain started to come. Just Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Now, another thing as I look on this that is so miraculous, Noah had to receive the animals. And I think it's interesting that in chapter 7, verse 8, the Bible tells us there that the animals came to Noah. He didn't have to go out looking for them. Somehow, supernaturally, the God who created the animals could also direct them to the ark. And Noah just stood at the door, and all the animals came. This was a very strange command, and you think about it. We think, well, how could he get all those animals? Well, I think it would have been, probably he didn't get one of every animal that was on the surface of the earth, but probably one of each species. And there were a few thousand species which could generate all the other different species over time. But I was thinking about this. How would they arrive? And then how would they live together? And how would they be fed? And then, very interesting, who would keep the ark clean? Because you know it was going to get messy. Who would do all that? Well, for 120 years, Noah believed God. He believed what God said, and he did not lose his patience. It's very easy to lose our patience when things don't work out according to our time schedule. But his ground of faith was the Word of God. He followed what God told him to do. God proclaimed judgment, and God delivered a promise. No, all these things are going to happen, but you have found grace in my sight, and you and your family will be saved. Noah believed God about all that he said, and then he obeyed, even as I said before, this bizarre commandment. Now let's look from the challenge to the cost. Did it cost Noah something? The cost for Noah was probably incalculable. Considering the time and the energy, the social stigma, the monetary cost, Noah paid a pretty high price, but one that he was more than willing to pay. And it says in Genesis 6, verse 22, that Noah did all that God commanded according to the word of the Lord. He didn't leave anything undone. He did exactly what God told him to do. When I look at our own lives, God so often calls us, and he wants to change our lives. He wants to use us for his glory. He wants to bless us, and he wants to touch us for all of eternity. And he says, just come to me and lean on me. And many of us can't even do it for a little while. We get discouraged. We don't believe. We get down. We quit. We go the other way. Noah reminds us there is a cost, but the cost is well worth the investment. Now, Noah warned of all these things. He believed God. He trusted God. He responded to God's word. And then secondly, he rebuked the world. It says there that he built an ark to save his family, and by his faith, he condemned the world. He condemned the world. Now, I want you to share the sermon for you. It tells us in the passage that she read a few moments ago that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And you think, well, what was his sermon? Well, his sermon just simply was building a boat for 120 years. Every time people went by his house, every time they saw him, every time they heard the hammers, the sermon was being preached because he was building an ark. He told them, judgment is coming. Come and get in the ark with me. He preached his sermon with his life, which is the way every sermon, ladies and gentlemen, really ought to be preached. Judgment is coming. But there was no response by those that he preached to. And he rejected the discouragement, and by faith, he rebuked the world. Sometimes God calls us to stand alone. Sometimes God calls us to stand courageously when no one else will stand with us. Sometimes to be obedient to God, we've got to keep our eyes focused on him and not worry about what anybody or anything, anybody, what they say or anything that happens. Noah rebuked his world because he walked by faith. He didn't try to please people. He didn't try to get along with people. What he tried to do was save people. The greatest thing that Noah could do for his generation was tell them the truth. Judgment was coming. And if you'll listen, if you'll hear me, you'll find safety. If you don't, you'll have to face the consequences. What kind of society did he live in? Well, Genesis 6:5 tells us it was a wicked society. It tells there about how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and it was only evil all of the time. So it was a wicked society. It was grievous to God. Genesis 6:6 tells us that God was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and God's heart was filled with pain because of how the world was living. Genesis 6:4 talks to us about how that society was demon-possessed, filled with demonic activity. And it tells us, too, in Genesis 6:12, that his society was corrupt. How corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. He tells us in Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, speaking of that generation, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who's forever praised. God's truth. Noah took God's truth, he put it out there, and many rejected it. Well, how about the sentencing? There was the sermon, and there was the sentencing that he came, as we see this evil society. What was God's purpose? Well, God told Noah that he was going to destroy the earth. I'm going to put an end to all people, he said. Now, when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, let's realize that God's judgment of sin is the only hope for a sin-cursed world. If God doesn't act to judge sin, we face an eternity of sinfulness. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to go to a heaven that's filled with sin. It won't be any different than earth. And so God deals with sin on earth so he can give us a heaven without sin that's perfect and pure. And so God can pour out his mercy and his kindness upon believers all throughout eternity. Be assured that God will deal with sin in this life. So Noah built the ark to the saving of his own family, and in so doing, he also condemned the world. Now look for a moment, think of a moment of God's patience. Remember last week we talked about a man by the name of Methuselah. God waited for Noah to build the ark for 120 years. He waited for Methuselah to die. Methuselah had already been on the earth for hundreds of years. And remember, Methuselah's name means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. What's he talking about? Well, when he's dead, judgment shall be sent. Judgment would not come until Methuselah died. And Methuselah lived for 969 years. Oldest recorded age in all of the Bible. Now, when you think about that, that really says a whole lot about the grace of God. And it responds to those who impugn God's justice. God gave them every chance over nearly 1,000 years. He waited nearly 1,000 years, but they still went their own way. God waited for Methuselah to die. What an example of the wonderful, gracious God that you and I serve, who loves people, is long-suffering toward us, not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should repent. So that takes us to the last proof of his faith. Noah received God's righteousness. He became an heir of righteousness that comes not by works, but by faith. He was a model of righteousness. He was the first to be called righteous in Genesis 6:9. And the only way to receive righteousness is not by works, but by faith. Abram believed the Lord, he says. God says in Genesis 15:6, and God credited to him for righteousness. The only way we can please God is by faith. The only way we can come to God is by faith. He was a model of righteousness. He was a model of faith. Noah illustrates the life of faith, worshiping and walking and witnessing by faith. I would say today that we need more people like Noah who believe God. He believed God and he obeyed him no matter how long, how strange, how difficult the commands were. He stood as a rebuke in a corrupt world and he established righteousness in God's sight. And I would tell you today that times are returning to that day as God prepares for Jesus' return. Jesus is coming back. And he tells us in Luke chapter 17 that just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, going on in life just like everything was okay. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Our world today is much like his world. People laughed at the preaching of the gospel. Then they laugh at it today. They attack it today. There was a population explosion then. There is one today. God dealt patiently with a sinful world. He deals patiently with a sinful world today. And yet God's message was rejected then. It's being rejected over and over and over again today. But Noah is encouraging to us, because in the midst of an evil world, he lived for an audience of one. He lived for the pleasure. He lived for the adoration of his God. He obeyed God in a disobedient world. He preached God's message even though nobody wanted to hear it. Churches today, our church, like Noah, should be a witness to our community and take the love of Jesus, take the gospel message to a world that needs him so desperately. Bow your heads with me this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This morning, I want to encourage you to be a witness by faith for Jesus. It's not easy. This world today, maybe more difficult to stand up for God today than ever before. But God wants us to stand for him. And if today, if in your life, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, or you need prayer about something in your life, we have the prayer team that will be in the back for prayer. They'll meet you for prayer and pray with you today for anything that you may need. And I trust as we just think about our own lives, that we'll just ask God, God, help us be like Noah, to walk with you and be a witness to your love and to your grace. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Help us this morning that we might be witnesses for you, like Noah, that we might find grace in your eyes, that we might be true to you, we might touch the lives of our society, the people of our society, our world, like he did in his. In Jesus' name, amen.